listening to An Inside Look with North America's Top 50 Site Consultants. How do I land a big deal in my community? What are location consultants really looking for? Join us as we pull back the curtain and look inside the secrets of site selection with your hosts, Tim Tarantine and Amanda Harrison.
Welcome to An Inside Look, North America's Top 50 Site Consultants. I'm Tim Tarantine here with my co-host, Amanda Harrison. And Amanda, you had a great conversation with one of the leaders in site selection. Tell us about who he is and what he does.
Thanks, Tim. Yes, I spoke with Josh Bays. He is a principal of Site Selection Group. He manages the company's industrial, education, and economic development business practices. He has had some fantastic experience in the site selection community. He has completed more than 250 projects for global clients, including Amazon.com, Boeing, Harley Davidson, you name it. So he's got awesome experience to pull from in this interview that we have today. And also on a personal note, he's a big supporter of the University of Texas. So we're talking to Josh in just a minute, so keep listening. Hi, Josh. Thanks so much for joining us today on An Inside Look, North America's Top 50 Site Consultants. Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Of course. We love to start with this first question just as an opportunity for everyone who's listening today to get to know a little bit more about you. And that question is, what are three things that everyone who's listening should know about you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think I can kind of give you a couple personal and maybe one professional. I guess the first thing that immediately comes to mind is I've got a wife and two-year-old daughter that I put above all else. The second is I'm an avid Texas Longhorn fan. Texas is my alma mater, and I bleed burnt orange. And the third is more professional. I've worked in corporate site selection my entire career on the corporate side.
Excellent. A good start to get to know about you. I'm going to transition a little bit on the last one that you said. How did you first get involved in site selection?
Yeah, so my technical experience is in GIS, Geographic Information Sciences. So when I initially got into the business, it was leveraging that technical experience. My first job actually was with Trammell Crow Company here in Dallas, working in their corporate site selection division. And so, you know, over time, obviously responsibilities grow and opportunities grow. In 2006, a group of us left Trammell Crow Company and started Site Selection Group. And I guess, as they say, the rest is history.
Fantastic. So over the course of your experience in this field, what's one inside secret that you lean on when you're assessing a community for a project?
Yeah, you know, I don't necessarily know if it's a secret, but I guess what you can consider for this question is, I think in any community or region that we're evaluating on behalf of a client, I can go in and speak with probably 3 to 5 major employers in a very similar industry and gather just about all the information I need to know to make a firm decision about a community. That's not to say that in a site selection project, we have to supplement the testimony of existing employers with other hard facts and solid data for them to make a decision. But very, very rarely do I ever find an instance where we're in a community evaluating that particular community, speaking with employers, and testimony from employers differs from what the hard data and facts are telling us. And so not that it's a easy way to assess a community, but it's usually quick and pretty reliable to speak with existing employers.
Yes, that is good insight and good to know. When you're out there talking to those employers that are already in that location, what are some of those key issues that you're asking about that your clients are really needing to know in order to choose that community?
The majority of the conversation will typically surround workforce, specifically the availability of a qualified workforce. And more often than not, the companies that we speak with are very forthcoming with their experience, and they're not always a strong advocate of the community, candidly. And so, like I said, a lot of the times where we're trying to get an understanding of their experience, hiring, retaining qualified talent, and we go out of our way to make sure we're speaking with companies that are hiring the same skill sets. And so even though the majority of the conversation does kind of revolve around workforce and the supply and demand and the cost points of a particular workforce, we'll also ask other questions and incorporate things like business environment, relationship with the local government, you know, anything from reliability of utilities to just their overall experience doing business in a community.
Sure. So can you cite maybe one or two examples of a best case community or state that went above and beyond in a recent project that you worked on?
You know, that's a very difficult question. And the reason that it's a difficult question is, by and large, economic development across this country is done in a professional manner. And this country is fortunate enough to have some pretty confident folks doing economic development across the country. And so as every day that goes on, there's less and less disparity in our experiences dealing with cities and states. Because I focus mostly on industrial projects, manufacturing and distribution, I probably spend a little bit more of my time in the Southeast United States than I do anywhere else. I think the Southeast United States, by and large, if you're looking for best case examples, and I know I'm speaking collectively as a grouping of states, but they by and large do the best job in the country of not only making sure they're doing product development and enhancing their communities and states, but they're also navigating the corporate site selection process more effectively. I know I'm skirting your question a little bit by not giving specific states or communities and kind of generalizing it, but like I said, I mean, economic development is not a new profession by any stretch of the imagination, and nor is site selection. And from my experience, there really is little disparity.
Good. No, that's a great answer to the question. In terms of what some of those communities are doing well, I know you mentioned in a specific region, but are there certain types of marketing strategies that are working best on you? I know we hear a lot about email or no email. We hear about, you know, real mail, not real mail, in-person relationships. What are some of those things that really kind of stick out to you when a community does it well?
From a marketing perspective, with the site selection community, in my opinion, the most beneficial thing a community, state, or utility can do is put a face with a name. I find it incredibly valuable to know who represents what territories. For when I do have a project, I know who I can pick up the phone and call, and that introduction's already over. I mean, the old adage is it's easier to do business with people that you know and like. Projects tend to run a lot more smoothly. And so we spend a lot of time trying to cultivate those relationships. And so from a marketing strategy, we find a lot of value in our friends in economic development visiting the office or reaching out with a phone call and just kind of saying, hey, this is the community or the state or the utility that I represent. Here's the territory that I cover. If you ever have a project interested, please give me a call. Other than that, as far as, you know, your more traditional marketing strategies, embarrassingly, I don't read my emails as close as I probably should, unless there's a specific need or it's a specific message just to me. So a lot of the canned emails I don't read too terribly often. I do enjoy finding out if there's something noteworthy going on in a community or state, you know, if there's been a big closure or a big announcement or a building came available or something of that nature, something kind of big news noteworthy. I try to stay up to date on that, or there's been a change in legislation or something like that. I find those to be more effective than just kind of your general advertisement.
Sure. Are there any things that economic developers can do when they have those big pieces of news to catch your attention in an email?
That's a good question. I'm certainly not a marketing expert. I can tell you, for me personally, put the most meaningful information in the subject line, because that's what usually gets me to open an email. So however you can succinctly communicate whatever that noteworthy event is in the subject line, I mean, that's really all I could recommend.
Sure. Good advice. So turning to you more as a leader, how do you personally define success?
For me, it's pretty simple. Personally, I define success as I'm happy and maintaining a lifestyle that makes me and my family happy. Our expectations in life aren't unrealistic, and so we find that pretty easy to do. And I define success with happiness. I directly correlate the two, and as long as I'm happy, I deem that to be that I'm leading a successful life. I know it's pretty abstract, but I think I intentionally define it abstract like that.
Good. And what is one leadership lesson that you kind of carry with you wherever you go, and it's something that you would like to pass on to others?
I don't believe in the term self-made. I think everybody that's successful or everyone that's in a leadership position or is leading others, they've certainly had help getting there. And so as a leader, I try to deflect praise or deflect accomplishments to the team and the folks that I lead. I think it's incredibly important to always acknowledge the people that you work with, the people that you lead, their effort, give them all of the credit. And if you take care of your people will take care of you.
Good. Well, it sounds like you are a great leader to work for. I'm sure your team appreciates that about you. The last question I have today is, if you could tell a room full of economic developers one thing, what would that one thing be?
I'm going to tell them two things.
Okay, two things.
The first is I would express my sincere appreciation, not only on behalf of me, but on behalf of Site Selection Group. We couldn't do our jobs without the hard work of our partners in economic development that continuously help us with projects. So I would thank them because, like I said, I mean, we couldn't offer the level of service to our clients without the hard work of the states, communities, and utilities that we work with on a regular basis. The second, which I think is more of what you were trying to get out of me, is one piece of advice or constructive feedback, and that's just to continually focus on product development. The states and the communities that have the most tools in their toolkits are the ones that are typically winning more projects. You know, it sounds incredibly intuitive and incredibly straightforward, but a lot of that product development is initiated and guided by the economic developers in those regions. And when I say product development, that's continuing to try to improve the workforce, making sure you have real estate options that satisfy speed to market concerns in whatever industries you're targeting, things like that.
Great. Well, Josh, thank you so much for your time today and sharing all the insights that you've collected over the years with our listeners. And again, just congratulations on being named one of North America's top 50 site consultants.
Yep, certainly appreciate it.
Thank you for tuning in to North America's Top 50, produced by Consultant Connect, where we're working to bridge the gap between leading economic developers and location consultants. To learn more